Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland's Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, the Right Honorable Hubert A. Ingram Chambers, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. And the Bahamas, like other countries in the region, continues to reel from the high incidences of violence, particularly involving guns and resulting in just an alarming number of murders in the country. And it seems that if there is a way to significantly reduce or end this degree of violence, the government of the Bahamas does not know that way. I didn't say the Davis administration doesn't, so that all of you with your political sensitivities won't be alarmed. I said the government of the Bahamas has not found that way, does not know that way. And that means for from administration to administration to administration, we have demonstrated an inability to do anything about this. That is as stark and frank reality as one can get. And you say, well, what's the proof of that? The proof of that is what is happening in the Bahamas. If a government of the Bahamas, if an administration in the Bahamas could bring an end to the prevalence, abundance of arms, guns in this country, and to bring an end to and say, or significantly reduce the number of incidences involving those guns, including murder and attempted murder and armed robbery, the government of the Bahamas, any administration would have done it a long time. They would have been happy to put that notch against their achievements, but they have not been able to. Cannot do it. No matter how many operations this and operations that we have, no matter how many prime ministers of the Bahamas have said that they will take a zero tolerance to crime, no matter how much machismo they have projected in the face of increasing numbers of murder in the country, most and many of which involve shootings, nothing substantial has happened to change this situation for the better. The government of the Bahamas is essentially incapable of dealing with this matter. So, again, the Prime Minister has indicated a desire to sue gun makers. And in an article in The Guardian written by Tanika Thompson, he indicated that the government has entered into an agreement with U.S.-based nonprofit group Global Action on Gun Violence to analyze the prospects of two firearms dealers, distributors, and manufacturers. This is before I thought the Caribbean group had actually taken steps to sue. I thought that was what happened. This is now an arrangement to look into the prospect of suing firearms dealers, distributors, and manufacturers. Now, I am no lawyer, but on the face of it, I don't get that. I simply don't get that. We don't make a lot of things that cause harm in the world and in our country. A lot of things. We don't make alcohol. Well, we make alcohol, some of us. But a lot of the alcohol we drink comes from other places. And we have lots of alcoholism in the country and death by alcohol. We don't make salt. We make salt, but we don't make it here. We buy the salt from other people. And yet that salt is causing wreaking havoc on us. We don't make most of the processed foods that we consume in this country that's causing so many of the chronic diseases that we have. We don't make sugar. What do? You sue the people who are making these things for the choices we are making in using these things? Is that the best we can do? This is our best effort. And when we sue them, what is supposed to happen? They're going to stop selling guns? Or we're going to get some money from them to do what? Money to do what? To give the victims? The families of the victims, but we keep saying many of the victims are known to the police and are out on bail. or being monitored by anklet bracelets. So what are we going to do with the money? Are we going to give it to the police so they could get more equipment and more manpower to do what? Because what they are doing now has not been, I'm not blaming the police, I'm just saying, has not been able to curb this problem. Now, mind you, we don't know what is being prevented, so you don't measure prevention. So the police may well be having an effect on the preventative side so that the problem isn't as bad as it could be, but it is bad and it's getting worse. It's been getting worse for years, for decades in the Bahamas. Our best effort is what? All of this led me to a question. Do you believe? You're the citizens of the Bahamas. I have a thought, I have a view. Others have a view, a perspective. Do you believe the government of the Bahamas is doing all it can do to curb the gun crime situation in the Bahamas? Do you believe that? That's my question today. And you say, well, you mean the Davis administration? Yeah, in this instance, I mean the Davis administration, but we could go back to the Minnis administration. We could go back to the Christie administration. We could go back to the Ingram administration. And if you have any inside history of any, is the government of the Bahamas doing all it can do? Do you think so? To curb the situation. And maybe if the government of the Bahamas is doing all it can do, maybe the rest of it is on us. Are we doing all we can do? Not politician. We, me, you. What you think? What do you think? I know you get up, and many, not all people. Can I tell you, not everybody wakes up in the morning frustrated, concerned, upset about all this crime and murder? Can I tell you that? Some people don't care. Some people involved. Some people don't care. They don't. They're too busy, hung up on their life and dealing with what they have to do. But if you care and you're concerned and you're interested, what do you think? Is the government doing enough? Is the government doing all it can do? And are you, we, me, doing all we can do? What say you? That's it today. You don't want to talk about that? Well, I'm sorry. That's it today. I mean, I may venture off into, you know, I'm tracking this U.S. presidential election. I mean, I've been tracking things for a little while, not so much talking about it, but it's gotten a little peculiar and interesting, a lot more interesting, actually. I mean, we may venture into that a little bit. But we got murder after murder going on in this country. So sometimes we get a little break, you know, we get a little lull. Then bang, 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 bang. Now, we want to look into suing the gun makers. How about the knife makers? How about the cutlass makers? Next. Great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Why the courts don't do long prison sentences like three life sentences plus 99 years like how they do in the USA? And also, where we get this love for guns, some people in Nassau just love guns. Hell no. We and the government ain't doing enough, says this stuff. Well, the sentencing is prescribed in the law. So how much you can get for committing a particular crime is prescribed in the law. And then, so the law normally gives maximum sentences, minimum sentences for certain things. And so judges often have a range within which they can operate. And, you know, the magistrate court can't give you more than 5 years. And then the Supreme Court, you know, got to go according to the law and the sentencing guidelines that they come up with and within the context of the law. So you get sentenced in accordance to the law. Now, if you, the parliament could go and give you 6,843 years for committing a crime. That's what Bannerman could do. Now, how that stacks up against their majesty's interpretation of the law, now, that's a different story. But the parliament can prescribe whatever punishment it deems appropriate within the context of the Constitution for any crime committed. Say, so now we're getting somewhere. We need to change the law. Well, yes, you could change the law. You can. You could change the law. We've done that before, you know. We've gotten harsher penalties for certain crimes. We have. But you cannot get a harsher penalty than death. Right? That ain't stop nothing. That ain't stop fellas from buying guns and using guns. Right? And I'm talking about when hanging was happening. Right? Maybe we are not doing the capital punishment with the degree of intensity and efficiency that might in fact generate a different psychology amongst those who are prepared to resort to the violence that they resort to. There is that argument to be had. And so that's why I'm asking you, are we doing all that we can do? When we come back from the break, you weigh in for me. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send me know that you're not alone. All of you feel like you can't tell the same issue.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day to day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Beat the heat with Dunkin's Happy Hour Culotta Special. Every day from 4 to 6 p.m., enjoy a refreshing medium culotta for just $4. Dive into fun, refreshing flavors like strawberry, blue raspberry, and vanilla bean. Feeling adventurous? Try our frozen chocolate or frozen coffee. Whatever your choice, we've got the perfect cool-down treat. Hot temperatures call for frozen drinks. So swing by Dunkin' from 4 to 6 p.m. and pick up a medium culotta for only $4. Dunkin' Happy Hour. Sip, smile, and stay cool only at Dunkin'. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
Why are you talking about any Christmas
Okay.
The kids are going back to school. So pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over. And our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season of all.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Let me give you some statistics. Up to 71% of all homicides globally involve gun violence. I ain't finished yet. This is according to Amnesty International. More than 600 people are estimated to die every day from gun violence, with two-thirds of the gun-related deaths, including suicides, occurring in just six countries. You hear that? Listen to me. Every day, 600 people die from gun violence, and that includes suicides. And two-thirds, 67% estimate, occur in just six countries. You want to know what countries those are? Brazil, the United States of America, Venezuela, Mexico, India, and Colombia. So the Brazilians could, unless, I don't know if they manufacture guns, they could sue whoever manufactures the guns, the Venezuelans and others. But up to 71% of all homicides globally involve gun violence. The majority of the victims and perpetrators are young men. All around the world, the Bahamas is no exception. The majority of victims and perpetrators, globally speaking, are young men. But women, according to Amnesty International, are at particular risk of violence from an intimate partner possessing a gun. So we are participants in a global phenomenon that is affecting essentially, though, six countries in particular. According to Amnesty International, about 1 billion firearms are in circulation globally. 1 billion. That's 1,000 million. That's 1,000 times with the guns that are in circulation globally. The vast majority of these guns, that is, according to Amnesty International, 85%, are in the hands of private individuals. You hear me? So 850 million about of the 1 billion guns in the world circulating are in the hands of private individuals. Only 13% are in the military arsenals. And 2% are owned by law enforcement agencies. You see in the picture? You seeing what's happening? We don't have legal access to guns liberally in the Bahamas. But we apparently have easy access to firearms. We do. Now, let me say this to us. We could not look at it all we want. There appears to be a socioeconomic connection with guns. There appears to be with gun possession and gun use. And I think that if we did the study and we looked at who the victims of the gun violence are, the victims, who the perpetrators are, we will find a socioeconomic link. We will find some commonalities about their sociology and their economic circumstances. That is playing an underlying role in their decision, involvement in the use of these guns. There is an anxiety afoot amid, it seems, the young male, in particular, black male, in particular, black male in urban New Providence that has suggested to them that they are in need of a gun. Now, what does a gun do for a person? What does possessing a gun do for a person? What's the primary aim of every man? Self-preservation. Self-preservation is the primary aim of every man. So a man holding a gun first thinks, I may help to preserve myself with this. Meaning, I see myself as under threat somewhere. Maybe I'm hanging with a crowd that has brought me in, made me at risk some harm. Maybe I have done some things, said some things, or not done some things, or not said some things that are putting me at risk of harm. And as a means of preserving myself, I need a gun. In addition to that, I need to eat. I need to live. I need to do things. I need to take care of things. But I don't have the power in myself, in my intelligence, in my education, in my circumstances to get those things. But there's power when I hold this gun to compel people to do what I ask them to do. Free up the weed, free up the cocaine, free up them caca, free up the money, free up. Because if I have the gun and the other people don't, I have the power. And ain't nothing a male want more than to have power. Feel like he is in control of his own destiny. Mind you, all of this could be, he could be deluding himself. Chances are that's what's happening. because the circumstances you see playing out, you could tell. But that's it doesn't matter what the reality is, it's what a person believes to be right true. That's what happens. That's what becomes his or her compelling force. We watch television and we immediately our own psychological cells identify that if somebody is at risk, a threat from a wild animal, a threat from a unsavory character, a threat from a monster, we psychologically immediately believe that they are more empowered and better off to defend themselves when they get a gun. I lie, oh, I lie. Happens all the time in movie. What you think? The two guys fighting. What you think they're reaching for? It slip out the gun. Everybody want a gun. There's a book called Guns, Germs, and Steel that talks about the role that those three things played in the power dynamics of the world over the course of human history. Guns. Where guns met arrows, guns prevailed. Where more powerful guns met less powerful guns, the more powerful guns prevail. Gun represents an awesome power for the person who confronts somebody who doesn't have a gun. Problem is, he who gets a gun may meet someone who got a gun. And in that scenario, you live by the sword, you can die by that sword. You live by the gun, you could die by that gun. And we watch it play out ourselves, not because we are victims, but we are observers in a society where our brethren and sisters are perpetrating and being victimized by these guns. And we shatter ourselves because it makes us feel like possible victims. Potential victims. Who are the world's biggest gun makers? We know some of them. We know some of the names. Who are the gun manufacturers in the world? Can I tell you that the gun manufacturers in the world collectively, according to WallStreet.com, make a collective $20 billion a year. $20 billion a year. That is almost twice the size of the Bahamas' economy. Who are these gun makers making all this money? Who Prime Minister and those want to sue? Let's see what we could find or who they are. The 13th largest gun maker in the world, according to Wall Street, is Barrett Firearms. They were founded in 1982. They are in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. That's where their headquarters is. That's Barrett Firearms. Then there's Savage Arms. Savage Arms, they make $30 million a year. They were founded in 1894. And they are headquartered in Westfield, Massachusetts. So let me tell you, so the Prime Minister of those could know where they're going to go sue. We just not. Who are you going to sue? Because you got to figure out which gun came from which manufacturer. Are you going to sue all the manufacturers? Maybe their guns, maybe some of their guns aren't used in your crime. So the 11th is O.F. Mossberg and Sons. Their annual revenue is $38.1 million a year. They were founded in 1919. Their headquarters is North Haven, Connecticut. So we got Tennessee, Connecticut. We've got Springfield Armory Incorporated. Their annual revenue, $63.9 million. They were founded in 1974. They are headquartered in Geneseo, Illinois. Which one of their guns is being used in our crimes? We don't know so far. I don't know. Colt Defense is the ninth one. Their annual revenue is $270.9 million. They're far up above the eighth. You'll notice the eighth one, their revenue is $63 million. These are $270 million. They were founded in 1846. They are headquartered in West Hartford, Connecticut. So Connecticut shows up twice. The eighth is Heckler and Koch. And their annual revenue in 2021 was $295 million. And they were founded in 1948. Where they are headquartered? In Oberndorf, Neckar, Germany. So it ain't only the Americans producing the guns. Then there's Sig Sauer. They are seventh. Their annual revenue in 2021 was $314 million. $314.4 million. You all realize they were making this kind of money in pandemic? 2021. And they were founded in 1976. Their headquarters, Newington, New Hampshire. Newington, New Hampshire. The sixth is Taurus Armus S.A. In 2019, their annual revenue was $342.1 million. They were founded in 1939, and they are in Leopoldo, Brazil. So we got three countries now we got to sue if their guns are being used, because we got America, we got manufacturers in America, we got manufacturers in Germany, we got manufacturers in Brazil. The fifth is FN Crystal. Their revenue in 2019 was $399.6 million. That's about $400 million. And they were founded in 1889. And they are in Herstal, Belgium. So now we got another country. So we got the U.S., we got Germany, four countries. We got the U.S., Germany, Brazil, and Belgium to look at. The fourth is Sturm Ruger. Oh, and in 2021, their annual revenue, listen to this. Remember what the fifth one was? The fifth one, their annual revenue was $399, just about $400 million, right? This one, their annual revenue, $731 million. That's all finished. And then we got Beretta. Oh, we know that name. And their annual revenue in 2019, $830.7 million. They were founded in 1526. And they are in Gardon Val Trompia, Italy. So now we got another country added. And then the second was Remington Outdoor. Remington. In 2021, their annual revenue, $865.1 million. Founded in 1816. They are in Ilion, New York. And the top gun maker, here I should know, is Smith & Wesson. Annual revenue in the pandemic, 2021, $1.1 billion. They were founded in 1852, and they are headquartered in Springfield, Massachusetts. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Yes, I'm listening to you, sir.
A pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Mine is a Remington. Mr. Lang, also, have you also, I did a little research. Out of all of those ammunition-producing companies. They're all owned by white people. Whether they're Russian, European, Brazilian, American, they're all owned by white people. And that is a very, very humongous business. And they don't have any control in just guns. You're talking about war material. You're talking about bombs, jets, aircraft, and all of this. So war in itself is a big business covered by this thing called the right to defend myself.
I'm not sure what's going on with your phone, but there's a great deal of distortion and bubbling happening, so we really can't make out that well what you're saying. Okay, so maybe you could try and call back after we come back from the break. So we've seen that you have gun manufacturers, major gun manufacturers in multiple countries. And so which company can we trace the guns being used in the Bahamas to? How do we work that? Now, that gun trafficking is so prolific that I am going to blame you for manufacturing a gun that you produced. So let's take an example. You sold your gun in Brazil to a Brazilian. Somehow the Brazilian connected to someone in Canada, sells the gun or gets the gun to the person in Canada, who then gets the gun to someone in the United States of America, who then gets the gun to somebody in the Bahamas, and you are responsible for manufacturing that gun, and you're responsible for the crime that happened in the Bahamas, even though when you sold your gun to a Brazilian in your country. Same thing for in America, you sold it to an American. The American lawfully, legally got the gun. He sold the gun to a Bahamian. Selling the gun to a Bahamian in his country, I don't think is illegal. But the Bahamian, but the Bahamian's supposed to get the gun. If you buy a gun in America, you're supposed to buy it under American law, unless you're trafficking. And then so the fellas, a person who ain't interested in the law can do it what they want to do. So he ends up breaking the law, selling his weapon to a Bahamian who ends up committing a crime in the Bahamas, and you are going to blame the manufacturer in the United States of America who sold legally his gun to a supplier, Walmart or one of them, who sold it lawfully to a certain person who then decided on their own ethical and moral standards to sell it illegally to a Bahamian who then commits a crime. Anybody see where I'm going with this? So there is a chain of custody involved with the guns that eventually end up perpetrating the crime in the Bahamas. But a chain of custody. What is more necessary in interrupting the criminal use of guns in the country than to disrupt the chain of custody? First, to track it, to understand how and by what means. I can't believe, I am not even stupid enough to believe the police of the Bahamas don't understand this basic thing. So this their job. I'm sure they're working with people to try to track this chain of custody that lands these weapons in the Bahamas. And then try to make it more difficult. You're bringing them on those yachts, those fancy yachts, those boats that fly in between the Bahamas and elsewhere. Smuggle them on the plane, on the boat, on the whatever, in the car, and the this and the that and the next thing. You got to disrupt the disruptors. That's really bottom line. The disruptors have to be disrupted. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chibago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Attention Bahamas, embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter 1. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, come take my hand,
we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chibago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands. You can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I had a very useful intervention just now on this lawsuit of gun manufacturers issue. And because I didn't get permission to say who made the intervention, I will not, but it was very useful to help understand what is at the heart of the potential lawsuit. So what is at the heart of it is this. You have manufacturers of guns that sell their guns to dealers. And as the notion goes, say 90% of these dealers do what they are supposed to do above board, following the rules, etc. But there are 10% of them that do not. Now, the idea is that these manufacturers know this 10% who are not doing things above board, through whom these weapons get circulated illegally and end up perhaps in places like the Bahamas and the like. And so what they're being sued for is this apparent reckless continuing to supply unscrupulous dealers who end up selling their wares to countries like ours, the people in countries like ours, and or some way getting it to us and causing the havoc that we have. And I have to say, I could buy that. I could buy that that's, you know, that's something. And even if it doesn't succeed, it certainly can provide an illumination of a problem and may even put these manufacturers on their heels to be cautious about how they go ahead and continue to supply these unscrupulous dealers. So I get it, and I'm thankful for the intervention. I appreciate that very much, all right? So it's not a wild trying to hold manufacturers responsible simply for the manufacturing of guns. That's not what it is. And so the idea I would have had in my head about why it seems unreasonable to sue them would be entirely different than what the proposition is that's being pursued by the government and others, which is that manufacturers of guns are continuing to supply unscrupulous dealers of guns, knowing that they are unscrupulous dealers, and therefore creating this challenge for us. I could buy that. I could see that, at least. Okay? You know? So I'm grateful, and thank you for the intervention. Really, really grateful. This text says, then the government must see themselves and hold itself accountable for allowing the weapons to illegally enter the country. Well, you know that the fact that something is illegal doesn't mean you allow. The fact that something is illegal means that you didn't allow it. It means that someone found a way around your legal process, right? So I don't know how you could sue somebody for having something illegal happen unless they have knowledge of that illegality and participates in the cover-up or facilitation of it. So the text says, so now my argument is null and void. Yeah, okay. Because you heard what I heard from the intervention. And I think lots of people actually will have some clarity about it, I hope, based on that intervention. So, I did ask another fundamental question, though, which is the government doing all that it could do, you think? And are we doing all that we can do to curb gun violence in the Bahamas? What do you think? What do you think? I heard one person say, no, hell no. One person said, what do you think? What else could the government do? What else could the police do? Let me tell you something. I believe that police and the government can do many more things. I really do. But there's a tension involved with societies like ours when it comes to what the police and the government can do. Right? Because on the one hand, if the government and the police want to be immensely disruptive to those who are seeking to possess guns, who possess guns, who use the guns that they possess to commit crimes, perpetrate violence, it could be rather uncomfortable for us. Because let's face it, what is likely, as someone says they're trying to call, I producer, I don't know. What is likely to happen if a person seeking to get a gun, a person in possession of a gun illegally, seeking to use a gun that they have, if they get the sense that any minute now, in my house, in my apartment, in my business, the government could descend upon me with a task force. You remember that task force that was descending on businesses? Imagine that task force, that one, in the same kind of way, with greater regularity, descending on the homes, apartments, commercial spaces, ashes of people who, people telling them, or they suspect, or they don't suspect. Have guns. You know what's going to happen? Same thing that happened with the business houses. My God, they had him handed. But I think, given the degree of violence being perpetrated with guns, I think maybe some people, more people than not, will say, you know what, man, listen, do what you got to do. Of course, you have to obey the law. The government has to obey the law. The government has to obey the Constitution. So that's the past part of the tension. But if those willing to possess and use weapons illegally are comfortable, then we're not doing our jobs. If they are too comfortable and the disruptors have to be disrupted for order to be pursued. I lie or I lie. You got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing, Chicago?
I'm right here, man. What's up?
Right here, man. Good afternoon to the nation. Interesting topic relating to the, I guess, trying to slow down the smuggling of guns into the country. I believe, Chicago, and as a matter of fact, I had intended on calling you before your break, but I got caught up doing something else, and I was reminded when you came back out of your break explaining the information that you received from someone you spoke with. I wanted to add something to that. I don't think the intention, to my mind, in looking at what the government is intending to do or attempting to do, I don't think it's just a matter of suing the manufacturers. I believe it's a matter of using it as a means to reduce or to make the manufacturers more responsible in tracking ammunition that they are selling. In order to hold those accountable who are the holders of those ammunition, which would in effect and at the end of the day help to reduce or stop, well, not it wouldn't stop, but help to reduce the flow of guns into the country or across borders in other countries. I believe, Chicago,
that may well be true. I may well be true, Anton, but the government that spoke to me did not say that.
Right. I understand. I heard exactly what you said, the person explained to you. But my perspective is different from what they were expressing. And in addition to what I just
said, you mean your perspective is different from what the government tell me is happening?
Yes.
You didn't hear what I said, eh?
you were saying that ain't what the government said.
I telling you what the government told me.
Yes. I understand. I heard you incorrectly. I thought you were referring to the conversation you had with the person, but you were referring to what the government said.
I'm telling you that the government was speaking to me.
Right, and based on what the government is doing, I believe that could be the only logical, sensible redress that the government could seek ultimately, because at the end of the day, Chicago, not only the manufacturers or the persons who are selling the guns, but also the agency or the government agency that is responsible for licensing these guns is where I believe ultimately just as big a problem is existing, because the entity who has the responsibility to license know who they are licensing to hold the guns or giving permits to hold the guns.
But Antoine, I think that the government's approach is more rational. I mean, I think it's about exactly what I was told, which is if you have manufacturers who are knowingly continuing to distribute their wares to unscrupulous dealers, and those dealers are the ones who are getting these weapons to places where they are reaping havoc, I think that that's it. I don't think that there's much more than that you could ask for. But to sue the people who license in life, first of all, remember, the suit would be about the manufacturers distributing to unscrupulous dealers. And an unscrupulous dealer is doing things outside the rules, so they are not being licensed by anybody.
Well, you would have to pass whatever their regulations are, I imagine, Chicago, in order to access the ammunition or the weapons in the first place, right? Mm.
And so now you want the government to sue the U.S. government, the German government, the Italian government.
I see. And that's
you just made all of us so tired. We don't even want to do nothing no more.
And so you went where I was going to go with the end of my commentary. That would create an even bigger problem, Chicago, because ultimately, even right here. I mean, if we use the Bahamas as a small example, Chicago, someone who doesn't have a police record is able to go and purchase a weapon. They also have to get a license to be able to purchase that weapon, which they would then present to the owner of the store who's authorized to sell that weapon. And so there's a dual responsibility there, Chicago, on the seller or the wholesaler, as well as the licensor, who is licensing the individual to carry the weapon in the first place. And I believe...
Not altogether, because you have to tell me I need to be scanning the people who buying knives from me, because now, you know, they could use that knife to go jerk somebody.
Well, certain types of knives, I would imagine, yes, Chicago, certain types of knives shouldn't be in the hands of civilians or everyday people. It should only be in the hands of well-trained people who demonstrate the capability or certification to handle
that's
them.
What you would like. That's what you would like the law to be.
Well, I believe that's where it should be ultimately. Mm-hmm. But not even my comment, Chicago, is not weighing heavy on that side, even though that's a consideration. My comment is weighing heavy on the side of just like a farm, right, Chicago? You have farmers in well planned out. Farming environment where you can say who grew this tomato. You can say what elements went into growing this tomato. You can say when the specific elements went into this tomato. You can say when the product was ready to go to market. You're able to track all of that information. I believe a similar process should be in place with ammunition and with guns, especially those coming across borders. And the same could be applied, Anton,
let's be practical in reality and with respect to the country we live in now. I mean, the brethren who got guns on the streets in the Bahamas illegally, track how, Anton?
Not those individuals per se. The law
that's the nuisance in the country.
The law, but understand what I'm saying, Chicago. If you can eliminate the individual because of their irresponsible practices, who acquired the gun in the first place or the ammunition in the first place or the first-hand acquisition, then you could put a stop to them getting the weapons in order to distribute it to other smaller users or retail users, because that person would then be the wholesale purchaser of the ammunition, who is then distributing it to retail purchasers of the ammunition. And if the system is in place, If the system,
I got you, Anton.
If the system is in place, if I were to properly track them and ensure that they are maintaining these weapons and they are still in possession of these weapons every so often, then I believe that would help along the way of ensuring that there is a reduction in the wholesale release and sell and sale of these weapons. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thanks, bro. Okay. In Texas, hi, Chicago. The government could say that they have made efforts to prevent guns from coming in by having customs officers in place at the various borders. The problem is that customs has failed the Bahamian people. Oh, wow, that's big. That's huge. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
No, not trying to call yourself with you today.
Hey, how you doing?
Right here, man, right here. I totally enjoy or thoroughly enjoyed the conversation you and my good friend Anton was having just now. Me personally, I believe that the task that the Bahamas government is attempting to undertake is a gigantuan one because of the number of other parameters that have to be considered here. First and foremost, to go up against the big gun giants in the United States, even though you have the U.S. proxy who is going to act on our behalf, is a very, very. It's going to be a very interesting one. I would like to see the processes that they're going to utilize in order to pull this one off. My biggest thing right now, though, is that what you discuss is only one part of where the focus needs to be, because we have a new technology that's actually out there, at least new to us, but it's been out for a little while now, and that is called 3D printing. What's going to happen to these persons who print weapons using the 3D technology? Are you going to be able to track them? Are you going to be able to stop them at the border? Or even so, there's a talk now, because I remember at one time the Honorable Ryan Pinder actually mentioned it in his presentation in Parliament or the Senate a little while back, where he said, well, basically, you know, with the importation of 3D technology here, right here in the Bahamas, are we now going to also suspect those who would have ordered these machinery with the capability of printing everything from gun to glass to whatever? Are we also now going to put them under the microscope for having that technology because of the capability of them also printing weapons? I mean, you know, like I said, this thing is multifaceted, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the government intends to curtail weapons, even the illegal ones. But what I term illegal is, you know, according to our laws, handgun possession by the average citizen is an illegal act. I would really like to see how they're really going to pull this thing off, okay?
I'm just going to make my commentary very short here.
I'd like to listen to the rest of the program.
No, don't go.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you something. So how uncomfortable are you prepared to be in order for them to make some progress in this attempt to get guns off the street? Like, are you prepared for the government to make us uncomfortable with a task force the way they made us uncomfortable with the business task force, the revenue one?
As far as I see it, Chivago, and honestly, when you talk to the average citizen on the ground, the average citizen on the ground would not be that uncomfortable unless we truly understand that the government has fleshed the mandate out to bring about a very positive outcome in the whole scenario. In a lot of past cases, though, we've seen that the implementation of some things where at the end result that was expected was never attained, and it makes Bahamians very uncomfortable. I would like to hear a conversation or a discussion where the Bahamian voices are included in these conversations that to assist in bringing about the changes that we want to see. And, you know, I would end with the mere fact that it is the perception that the persons who represent us in our parliament are perhaps supposedly some of the best that we can have to represent to bring about policies and bring about the changes that we want to see. But at the end of the day, many of the policies that they implemented, I'm telling you, according to what I hear on the ground on a daily basis, many of them have been ineffective. And I just don't know. I mean, there'll always be the aspect of scrutiny. There'll always be the aspect of persons who do not believe that the government can pull off some of the things that they put in the public domain for us to actually think about and have some type of discourse. But, you know, it is said the proof is in the pudding. And if the pudding is baked that good, then we all should see positive benefits that is going to become the hallmark or the trend that a lot of us would like to see that bring about some fruitful outcome so we can actually benefit from these things. And I guess there's no other better way I can put that, okay?
I got you, brother. Thanks a lot. I appreciate your calling. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. A relative of mine said that this country needs sociologists and psychologists. They need to study the root causes of what's driving this crime situation here in the Bahamas. The first Ingram administration attempted to do this. Everything they set up a commission on, we are having problems now. Crime, youth, and education. Interesting thought, actually. So like many of those guns are coming through the Arawak container port, customs don't check all containers coming in with the USA. President Donald Trump got this one. Okay. Hi, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, you know, I kept saying when those police catch those guys with the guns, all they have to do is to make them say where they get the guns from. But now I see why the police didn't push the issue, because it's alleged they knew what was going on. I don't feel too safe anymore with the police. Wow. This text says, Miller, Smith, and Weston, Rockefellers make weapons, Mr. Lang, 96.9 FM, okay? This text says, Mr. Lang, I do remember we are Billy the Kid. I want to be on peace. boy, Mr. Lang, okay, America, I have Nickelodeon. And listen, y'all stop texting nonsense, please, man. People trying to talk about sensible stuff. So the government passed an anti-crime law 4 months ago. How many murders have happened since that time? And have the police collected one person flashing gang signs or in association with persons flashing gang signs under that law? I think the same of this sue the government manufacturer initiative as I do of the anti-gang law. That is, the government has no hope of seeing results. They want to be seen to be doing something. Text says the government would make more progress if they launched an independent investigation into the police force, because if there is a corrupt syndicate within and through the ranks, no anti-crime initiative can succeed. That question needs to be answered. Wow. This text says, how do you trace a weapon when many of these weapons' serial numbers defaced? I don't know. I don't know at all. That's a good question, though. So Mr. Lang, the caller, never said if he'd be comfortable with what has to be done. Well, it didn't seem directly so. Oh, the call-in numbers you want to call in is 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325 4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. This text says, maybe Bahamas Customs should do a better job searching instead of coming to work all dolled up. Do you ever see how they lightly search items when you arrive? I know one thing. You know, don't want them search you all heavily when they arrive. But maybe that's what I'm saying about your uncomfortable, your discomfort. Maybe they need to make us more uncomfortable from the head to the tail, right? Maybe. How about we invite them to make us uncomfortable? Suppose all of us email the police and say, you can come search my house. You can come search my house for guns. They don't have to, but you could say. If you don't email, then they could think, oh, I wonder why that one didn't email me. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, see. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you, man. What's going on?
Yeah, man, everything blessed up.
Let me ask you a question.
I was talking about license and everything.
Hold on. Before you say something. Suppose all us email the police and say, yeah, you can come search my house. For God.
Yeah, all us ain't like that. All us ain't gonna want that. All us ain't gonna want that. But, even though you all us even have no gun, we even want that. We guys ain't want them digging up in our boxes and things. What Anton was talking about license and authority and all this, because just remember now, Governor Sanchez, last year, the 1st of July, 2023, was a law passed that you don't need no background check, you don't need no license, you don't need nothing. You can walk in a gun shop and buy a gun and just put it in your waist and walk out the shop. Now, anyone of them could go and sell that to a behemoth with coming back to the Bahamas or anything like that. They make the law so easier to put the iron on guns. And then I agree, I was going to say something, but then you could wreck it earlier. Yeah, it ain't a Bahamas thing, it's a world thing. Because I know you watch international news like me, and yes, yesterday or day before yesterday, and right over there in Miami, a 2-year-old is killed on the plastic slide. He loses his life. They shoot up a child park. These humans in the world now, they're getting so serious. And yes, but 4 days before that, a lady was standing on the corner in front of the food store with her brothers and all that and everything with a 4-year-old. And they shoot up them and them two and kill two and break the 4-year-old. They go, oh, lucky thing, you need to shoot in his leg and break his leg. Yes, yesterday in Miami Airport, the fella stabbed up a transsexual male 17 times and try to train him over the railing. So there's a world thing. You see, Satan powerful too. And Satan trying to get these people too. And God will get these people and Satan will get these people too. But guess that some humans is giving the Satan demands more easier. They're just giving more easier, man. They're more easier for Satan to tempt them and to do foolishness. That's all it is.
600 a day.
Huh?
According to Amnesty International, 600 a day die by gun violence.
Right, so that's around the world. So this gun problem, because in Florida, the key only that. You can walk in a shop, no background check now. Like a 20-year-old got this much hate in his heart to kill off an ex-president and a president candidate. He only 20, he only can vote 2 years. Where you get this type of hate from in his heart for politics? You know?
Well,
if a 20-year-old thinking like that could go and try to assassinate someone as powerful as that, then, you know, man, what's going on in the world today, man? I guess mind-boggling. Yeah.
Now let me tell you, I think you raise a very, very significant issue. I really do. Listen, and I'm serious as a heart attack. I have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree. I have lots and lots of secular education.
Uh-huh.
But the truth of the matter is that there could very well be a spiritual dimension to what's going on that secular institutions are ill-equipped to deal with.
Yeah, Satan powerful. Satan was the second man in charge up there, He's the man, he wanted people to, you got to get some people down in hell, too. So
you remember
just giving the sin more dangerous sins than some. Some will say, I ain't killing no one, or I ain't want no gun, or I ain't nothing, and then some gets a free coat on gun, or get a trail of killing people. That's why we have serial killers around the world.
You remember that parable Jesus told where he said that the owner planted a vineyard, went away. When he came back, it was all kind of weed was in it.
Right.
And the servants asked him, who has done this?
Uh-huh.
And he said, this was done by the enemy. And when he interpreted it, what he said? He said that the father planted his children in the kingdom and that the devil planted his in the same kingdom.
Right. Right. And the two of them are after the same people, the same hearts. They're trying to win
remember that was the parable of the wheat and the tear. What a lot of people don't realize is that wheat and tear talked about in that parable are very similar plants. the tare actually mimics the wheat. And unless you are an expert, you cannot discern the two. And that's why he said, when they said, let's go and pull up the tare, he said, no, 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 no. You wait till the angels. The angels will do that because they know how to deal with that.
Okay, yeah, you said it right there.
So yeah, listen to me now. You hear what I'm saying? The wheat and the tare look alike.
Mm-hmm.
One is the seed of the vada. One is the seed of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because me and you will never pick up no gun and thing and go kill no one and no breaking no house and thing and go rob no bank and no shop. Man, I ain't within us. We'll never do that. But some people are just given to those temptations. They're given to the weaker.
Well, whatever the deal is, weak or not so weak or influenced or whatever it is, you're right that there are people who are well prepared to do that for whatever reason. Whatever reason.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, see.
Thanks
for calling. Welcome back, man. Yeah, man.
Thank you, bro.
Continue to educate us.
Thank you, my friend. We do what we can. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We are going to honor our wonderful sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We go everywhere. Shop early at Janae's Chesapeake Road annual back-to-school sale going on now. Get up to 20% off on all school items in stock. Yes, all school items in stock. Shirts, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, school neckties, PE shorts, in a variety of colors and school monograms. Shop early and don't miss out at Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road's annual back-to-school sale going on now. Remember, we go everywhere. Beat the rush and save, save, save at Janae's annual sale now.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including that, this Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper. Made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I don't know that I can say a more serious thing than what I am about to say. And I am deadly serious. Guns are a problem. I don't disagree with that. But guns are tools of human beings. In the hands of a police officer, it might well be one of the most welcome things you could imagine when you are under attack. A police officer with a gun. In the hands of a burglar, one of the most horrifying things you might ever experience. But the gun is a tool in the hand of both. So I hope we don't make the mistake of thinking that our problem, in fact, is a gun. Imagine the young man who just shot another young man, or a set of young men. The gun was what he used. But the thing that drove him was what? Is it the calculation that if he didn't have a gun, he wouldn't be trying to murder the guys or guy he tried to murder? Or had he not had a gun, might he find another way? Cain didn't kill Abel with a gun. He struck him with a stone. Others stabbed with knives. Others hit with bats. Others chopped with cutlass. Guns make it easy, it seems, and more devastating to do. Go back 8 years. Now he's 20. Go back 8 more years.
Now he's 12. Look at him, 12. Maybe today, even looking at him at 12 is too troubling. Take 8 more years off. Now he's 4. 4 years old. Look at him. Look at him. And ask yourself, what happened to you, son? What happened to you? I see you playing with them other boys right there. You're smiley. You look so innocent. What happened to you, son? What happened to you when you were 5, 6, 7, 8? You're in primary school? 9, 10, 11, 12, you in high school. And you were 13 and 14. What happened to you, son? Where your mommy? Where your daddy? What are they doing with you, for you, around you? How are they holding you accountable? How are they guiding you? What are they showing you? What are your uncles, your aunts showing you? Your cousins? What happened to you, boy? No church in? None whatsoever? Some church in? Oh, you didn't like the church you didn't like the church and you get? Oh, what did you see in church? What did they show you? What did they do to you? How did they influence you? What happened to you, boy? What happened to you? Why are you angry now? Driven. Kill? What happened to you, son? Why is your compassion been turned off? What happened to you? Not the gun. The gun didn't happen to you. You happened to the gun. Because if you saw it a different way, the gun would do a different thing. It might not even be around you. So you miss... Oh, I was muted. Oh my God, for real? From 3:48? Well, all I was saying was the gun is not entirely the issue. The issue is the man, the person. See that 28-year-old who's been charged with murder, accused of murder, might have in fact done the murder. He was 20 one time, 12 one time, 4 one time. Look at him when he's 4. And ask him, what happened to you? What happened to you? What happened between you and your mommy, your daddy, you and your daddy, and your mommy, daddy and your mommy? What happened with you and your brothers and your sisters, your siblings, your uncles, your aunts, your cousins? What happened with you, son? Why are you like this now? And I'm serious. I'm not condemning you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just asking, what happened to your mom? See, the gun no happened to you, you know. You just happened to the gun. You happened to the gun. Something in your heart, something in your mind, something in your spirit is happening. And see this, the government is not equipped for this work. Okay? This is not the government's work. This matter of the heart is not the government's work. You know, the government's work of educating its citizenry, of providing its citizenry outlets for recreation and culture, those are what we call civilizing functions. They help to tame the brute beast we can be in the most basic of ways. But they cannot transform the beast. They can cultivate certain attitudes, certain approaches in the beast. But the beast, in order to be transformed, needs something deeper, needs something more profound. And the first stages of that transformation comes from parents who understand that that child is more than just more than just their child. That is a spiritual being. A spiritual being in need of connection to its maker. All right? Needs to be tuned his or her profound purpose on planet Earth. And then it continues with those connectors to spirituality, man. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all get mad at me if you want. I'm a Christian. I believe in Christianity, but I don't believe that Christianity is the only connector to spirituality. And it is one of the reasons why those who find spirituality in other outlets still find themselves more civil, more decent, more willing to comply with the law than those who do not. So this notion that only people who believe in God will obey the law is absolute nonsense. Because lots of people who believe in God are out there killing and shooting and destroying people. Or who believe in our God, the way we believe God to be. Yes, I encourage people to believe as I believe. But I don't believe that that's the only way for people to be civil and decent in the world. There are lots of civil and decent Hindus, lots of civil and decent Muslims, lots of civil and decent Buddhist, lots of civil and decent atheists. And there are lots of uncivil, all of those things, including Christianity, Christians. But I do know this. There is a civilizing, a deeply transformative process that happens in the human heart, connected to spirituality. And that is not the work of government. This person says, sin is to blame. I believe you 100%. 100%. Sin is to blame. Missing God's mark is to blame. It's true. Right? Oh, but that's the white man religion. Okay. Then find me a black man religion that says missing God's mark is the reason, and I with you. But I'm saying that the government has to focus on doing things that mitigate gun violence and these kinds of things as best it can. The government is limited. It is limited. It is limited to do a work it is ill-equipped to do. Preacher, teacher in the faith, you are equipped for this work. Parents of faith, you are equipped for this work. More equipped than anybody else. You are equipped with your prayers. You are equipped with your spiritual words. You are equipped with your love and compassion. You are equipped with your admonition. You are equipped with your rebuke. You are equipped with your exhortations. You are equipped with your caring and your sharing. You are more equipped than any government could ever be. And even then, we will not altogether solve the problem. We certainly can make a big dent in it. When the people who are equipped to do the thing that we are seeking to do, do the work that they should be doing, we get better results. But we keep relying on the government to do a work it's not equipped to do, we will not get the results that we desire or require because the government is not equipped for that work. The government is equipped for paying for public services and public goods that we cannot pay for ourselves, supplying the kinds of things we can't supply for ourselves, police and roads and bridges and docks and so forth, equipped to transform a heart to stop killing, stealing, murdering, raping. The government is not equipped for that. Locking up such a soul, yes, it's equipped for that. making laws against those things, it is absolutely equipped for that. Having a heart not to want to do those things, the government is not equipped for that. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. God bless you. I trust and hope you have a wonderful evening. He spares our lives. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.